Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will proudly turn it over to the host of the show tonight, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Terry.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll be honest with you, though. You and I were just talking. we're both dragging.
We are.
It's been a long few days, yeah. A long week, and yeah. Just a lot going. I guess that's good because there's a lot going on, right?
Well, I think it's a combination of that, and like I said, the time change. I still don't think I've caught up with the time change.
Maybe I haven't either. It's kind of funny. You talk about being busy. I got to have a family member right now that's widowed and just doesn't really have anything she does, and because of that, life isn't fun right now. And it's kind of nice. We complain about being so busy sometime, but isn't it neat to have goals as you get older and things that you reach to do every day? It really keeps you getting out of bed, doesn't it? You know, it really does. Well, anyway, good evening, everyone. I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio, and you are listening to the Pastor's Spot, which is a radio ministry of the church. And we are at 209 East Water in Prospect. You can come and see us any Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. We have midweek service at 6:30, and there's also an off-campus ministry that is at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And twice a month, the first and third Tuesdays of the month, we have Team Kid, which is a fun program for kids from age 3 all the way through 5th grade.
Before you get going, I did. Somebody asked me the other day, and I wanted to ask you about this. Do you still do that breakfast on Friday for the men or whatever?
Men's breakfast is on a Friday morning, and it's the first Friday of the month. And actually, this Friday is women's breakfast. And we do that, what is it going to be, the third Saturday? Did I say Friday? It's a Saturday. It's not on a Friday.
The women's on Saturday?
They're both on Saturday.
Oh, both on Saturday. Okay. Somebody stopped me the other day. I meant to say last week. Somebody stopped me and asked me when that was.
And it's the nice thing is it's the men are early.
Is it 8 to 10? Is that what you said?
It's 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
It's just whenever we're done.
Okay.
It's not a real long time. It's a great time just to get together.
I meant to say something to you last week. Somebody stopped me.
It's great.
And that's at the church, right?
It's at the church,
okay,
sure is.
Okay.
But we started at 8 so that we can get back and get back to things we want to do on Saturday. And the ladies start at 9, and just kind of a time for maybe them to get away and just spend some time together and leave kids home with maybe dad or whatever the case may be. But we'll take them if they like to. But anyway, it's a great time, and everybody really enjoys it.
Well, this person had also asked me, too, would it be all right if they brought something? Like to share, for the breakfast.
Well, I would suppose so, yeah.
Okay.
It's not necessary, but nobody's going to, they're gonna bring something.
They didn't want to, if you guys, they just wanted to.
Typically we have the guy that cooks I'll call him our head cook, Ted. Ted cooks our breakfast. He does a pretty good job.
Okay.
Does a pretty good job. But, there's people who brought stuff in before.
Okay.
But, yeah, we have a good time. It's a non-denominational thing. We have people from different churches come.
I'm going to try to get one of these Fridays.
Yeah, it'd be great. Show up. If you're not working, it'd be great to have you. Glad to have you. Real good group of guys. And it's a different, it changes every week because some guys can make it, some guys can't, depending on their job schedule or maybe their honey-do list. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you guys going to do one like after Thanksgiving too?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, and man, we got a lot going on. I'm telling you, we have we just started our toy drive. We have our gift drive. We have boxes in most of the businesses in Prospect, and we'll be collecting from now until the second week of December. When we'll be, we have a distribution of the church, and it's for people within the Elgin community. And the reason I say that is because that's where we're at. And you like to help everywhere, but you can only do so much. And there's a great need there too. And I'm sure sometimes by us helping in that area, it takes some of the burden off some of the Marion locations that are trying to help people here in town. So, you know, it works pretty well. But no, we've been pretty busy. The Team Kids been going great. Plenty of little kids coming, and they're having a ball. And
pizza with the pastor going?
Pizza with pastor, same time as
going good?
It's going very well. And the kids had a we do this thing that's kind of fun. It's I've got a couple of these books. It's called they're called You Finish the Sentence, and that gives you a sentence, and then they've got to finish it, and they just love doing that. It's a lot of fun.
Good.
And some other things we do, and just great group of kids. It's good, you know. It's funny. We talk about kids say they don't have anything to do. There's plenty to do. You just got to look and do it. And I was thinking about this as I was driving in today, you know, at Christmas season coming up and Thanksgiving, and, you know, everyone's worried about what they're going to buy. Don't you think, kind of? You know, I saw a funny thing the other day on one of the social media sites, and it was a guy that said, I figured a good way to shorten my Christmas list. He said, I'm going to bring up politics at Thanksgiving. Get it?
Good, yeah.
But no.
Good one.
But, you know, the thing is, if we, you know, gifts are great, but you know, time spent is so important. And, you know, sometimes it just gets to be too much. And we try to do too much. Had a lady the other day that was going to bring some stuff in that, you know, was talking about, you know, a lot of things she had the kids had never even bothered to open. And, you know, kids today, when I was growing up, you know, and I'll be frank, most families when I grew up, and I'll tell you guys, I'm 60 years old. I was born in 1958. But most families were mom and dad and kids. You know, that's not the family so much today. And you had a limited amount that you got for Christmas. You could kind of guess kind of what you were going to get, or at least the amount. And today, with so many blended families, you know, there's kids. I feel bad for families, and I know that in my own family I have a couple of my children have married people that have been divorced and remarried, and maybe even twice, I don't know. But anyway, you'll end up with four or five grand sets of grandparents, and you feel obligated to go to everyone, and by the time the kids drag all the gifts home, they really got more there than they really need. But, you know, I think the most important thing is the time spent. My kids for years have done something pretty neat. Their gift to each other, rather than going out and buying gifts for each other, their gifts to each other are they all have a siblings' night out together. And they'll pick a restaurant every year, and they get babysittered for the kids. And as siblings, they all get together and go out and just have a fun night of whatever. And that's their gift to each other. Another friend of mine did something. Now, you'd have to save a little money or have a little money to do this, I think, but another friend of mine, his gift to his children every year was he would rent the lodge at Malabar Farms. He'd rent the lodge for the week after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, and his entire family would go there and stay as a family unit. And they had several kids. It was a good-sized family. But they would stay there at Malabar Farm in a lodge and just have a wonderful time together. And, you know, everyone looks at the, when you think of the old Christmas stories and over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. You know, that I think we can still make that somewhat of a reality if we chose to. And get rid of the drama. I mean, drama's bad most of the year, but we don't need it, do we? You know, Matthew 5, in Matthew 5 it talks about pray for those that use you. Pray for those who hurt you, those who use you, those who despitefully use you. That's hard to do, isn't it? But, you know, I think this time of year, it might be a good idea to try. Because we're coming into a Christmas season and someone's saying, boy, if so-and-so shows up for Christmas this year, we're going to have a horrible time. Start praying for those people. And pray for, you know, if you pray for people and you earnestly do so, and I don't mean to pray this way, dear God, I hope that so-and-so finally realizes what an evil, wicked, you know, that's the kind of prayer I mean. I mean the type of prayer, you know, Lord, please, you know, let this person know you, grow closer to you, have happiness, you know, be in their life. You know, when you start praying for people and thinking that way, it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. I knew a pastor one time that had a man in his church that had been there for years. Guy didn't like him. He stayed in the church because his family was there. He liked it, but he didn't like the pastor. He never did. And the pastor shared that one day they were in a meeting and they were praying. And this man openly prayed for the pastor, for him. And he told him later, he said, you know, you made my day. Because I know you don't like me. But you honestly prayed for me with care in your heart. You see, we can heal a lot of wounds if we're willing to step up and do it. There's always going to be people that will hurt us. There's always going to be people that aggravate us. Sometimes we've got to look beyond that. You know, you really think about it, and just about on any family member, you might have a family member that really grinds you the wrong way. I don't know of families where everyone has that family member, you know, that just as... Who was it? Was it Jackie Gleason used to say, send you to the moon? And, you know, if you just look at them, you know, is there any one of those family members that if they were really hurt or in a bad way, you wouldn't be right there? You would, wouldn't you? So, before they get in a bad way, be there anyway. You know, that's what we're commanded to do. That's what God says to do. You know, a lot of people say, you know, that's easy for you to say, but they this or but they that. You know, really, when Jesus commands us to do that, when he talks about that in Matthew chapter 5, he's only telling you what he himself was willing to do. Because while we were yet filthy sinners, he died for us. While we were enemies of God, he died for us. And so all he's asking you is, you know, show some of the compassion that I have given you, that I've shown you, some of that same grace and compassion. And I think if we do that, it's going to make our season just a whole lot better, don't you think? But it's hard. What do you think, Terry? I think it's hard sometimes. You got those people.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah, it really can be. But
it just seems like a lot of times, too, with those people, seems like the more you pray for, like, it just, they never get it, or it never, you know, they still continue to do it.
But you know the difference. You know what? Here's the thing about that, Terry. As long as you hold animosity towards someone in your mind,
right,
it holds your mind captive from freedom. You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you're praying for them. They're not going to change. Now, God says, it commands us to do that, and I believe there will be change. But even if they don't, and if you never see the change, at least you've let it go, and you've given that away, and you've given it to God, and you know that you're praying for them and hoping they do better.
And then it enables you then to have a free mind. Is that
exactly?
Yeah.
You know, you pass that person sometimes in a hallway. Or you see them coming, you want to duck in a door because you only want to see them. And then maybe it's someone that stirs that anger so fast that for the next hour or two, you're just grinding, you know. Just daggone it, you know. And you bring it. You rehash all that old garbage. Well, if you're praying for that person and then you see them coming, just smile and say, hey, how you doing? or you think to yourself, boy, I hope they're doing better. You know, I'm not going to let that bother me today. God, you know, I've given this to you. I'm letting it go. I'm not going to dwell on it, and I walk on. I have that trouble sometimes, not just with – I have that trouble sometimes with people that I don't even know. Sometimes I can get really disgusted with people on television, people on talk radio, people on, you know, all those kind of things. And I think to myself, wait, what are you doing? You know, just pray for them and walk away. See, what they do doesn't change me one bit or what my mission is from God. I mean, God gives us all a mission. He gives us a life plan. So if my mission, if, as a pastor, I'm to spread the gospel, share the gospel, love people, and shepherd people, how does what anyone else does, how does an election result or a or any of those things that we hear, how does that change what I'm supposed to do whatsoever? Not one bit. And if I focus on what God wants me to do, then I don't have to worry about that stuff. But if I get all balled up and worrying about that stuff, how effective am I? If I get so worked up over things that are bothering me in the world, that just are really eating at me in the world, and I go into the pulpit on Sunday, what kind of message am I going to give? You don't think people can't see anger? Sure, they can see it. And you can't live that way. I know people that live from crisis to crisis, and that's what they do. And I don't think we can live that way. But, you know, coming into this season, we have Thanksgiving coming up. Interesting. So what do we think of when we think of Thanksgiving? Give me some ideas.
I mean, obviously, the first one that comes to my mind is you think about spending time with your family. And
first thing that pops into my mind
is a big meal, baby.
I think it does everybody, you know.
Yeah, that was the first thing I was thinking.
Yeah, you lied, didn't you? I caught you. But you know, I did too.
I just
Jerry.
Didn't know how appropriate that was. Yeah,
feel, but you're right. But the thing is, you know, in our culture as Americans,
right,
I mean,
sure.
In all different parts of the world, that's maybe not the case.
Right.
But here in America, we're used to a particular dinner that we only usually cook that specific one about once a year. So we know that's going to happen. We know there's going to be a lot of full bellies and football and hopefully enough leftover turkeys or for some nice cold turkey sandwiches, you know.
Yeah.
But
then the evening is turned into Black Friday sales. You know?
Oh, man, what are we going to do about that, right?
Yeah.
But it has.
It has, yeah.
It has.
How many dinners have gotten cut short because people want to go stand in line for...
Yeah, I know my sister-in-law was telling me that her daughter had said, "Hey, Mom, why don't you want to go out for Chinese on Thanksgiving?" And she's like, "What are you talking about? You know, whatever happened waiting on Uncle Bob and Aunt Rose to show up,
right.
You know, that kind of stuff, and families being together."
Exactly.
But, you know, that is huge. But you know, we really want to think about what do we have to be thankful for? And I'm going to tell you, Americans out there, Marionites, Prospect people, LaRue, New Bloomington, all you areas are
Elgin people, Green Camp,
everywhere. You know, you've got a lot to be thankful for, whether you realize it or not. You know, that first Thanksgiving, I don't think people ever remember just how rough it really was. Most of the people had died. Been a hard year. Disease had run rampant. People were unhappy. That first Thanksgiving, there were a whole lot of men and just a few women, because most of the wives had died.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the young women had died. But yet they still took time to stop and thank God for the fact that many of them were still alive, and the fact of what they had and what they could share and what they could do. And I think that we can all be that thankful.
Sure.
You know, I don't have, you might say, I don't have a lot. You know, I barely have groceries this time of year. Let me tell you something. If you're hungry and you call the church, we'll make sure that you can get some groceries.
I say, as much as your wife cooks there, that's...
You know,
you better not leave there hungry.
The pantry, the Lutheran church across the street from us this year, will be having their pantry a week early.
Okay.
Which is this Thursday, because isn't next Thursday Thanksgiving?
22nd, yeah.
So they're having their pantry tomorrow, and they'll have all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I know if you need it, you can find it out there.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you know, even if you have to settle for a chicken instead of a turkey.
Absolutely.
Or actually, the turkeys are on sale. They're not that bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm getting at is enjoy yourself at it. You know, Mom, maybe this is the first time you're going to cook a turkey. Make an event out of it. Bring your daughter in and say, let's get this. Let's make this happen. You know, think about some of those things.
Sure.
You know, go online and find some traditional Thanksgiving stories and read them if you can't make it to the library or you don't have a book. You know, look at what some of the things people used to do. I know in my family for years it was always a tradition to go hunting on Thanksgiving. The men, while the women were cooking and doing whatnot, the men would go out and they would hunt. And I don't do so much that anymore because my son-in-law and his family, they all go out, and a lot of friends of ours go together. But I'm just not big into hunting into groups anymore. I would rather go out, you know, with one person or by myself. But so I don't usually go with them. But they have a great time, and the kids have a ball, and, you know, the young men learning. And I know my grandson, Jack, has been for the last week taking hunter safety's course online, and he's almost done with it. He has to pass 11 sections, and I helped him the other day. He was through 7. And he doesn't even technically have to have one this year, because if you're under 11 or 12, you can go with your parents, but once you reach that age, you have to take a course to get a license.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to have one this year, but his dad said, before you go out with me, you're passing that course. And that's a good idea to do.
Sure.
But, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't do that. I can't kill anything, that kind of thing. But I'm just saying there's things out there that we can do traditionally as a family. You know, ask your kids, think of one thing that you're thankful for this year. Well, I can't have it. Well, I didn't get this, and I did. Come on, really? You know, do we really have to look at it what goes on around the world to see how well we really have it? I hear a lot about white privilege. I want to tell you, folks, we've got Western privilege. If there's ever a privilege, it's Western privilege. Because everyone in this country has access to food. If someone is willing to take them to get it, or if they're willing to take the time to know where it is. I know this because I've been involved in the food ministry and pantries for years. I know it's there. These stores anymore have gone out of their way to supply our food banks. And it's out there. But, you know, and you can't say that in a lot of parts of the world. You know, you're not going to go somewhere where, you know, yeah, you might be able to get a little bit of grain, maybe some grain that you got to figure out what you're going to do with that grain. But, you know, our food pantries, you go in on a day and you can find about anything you can in a grocery store and good stuff, and it's there. So I know that, you know, also this time of year, there's a lot of produce that comes through a lot of the pantries, and people don't even take it all. I mean, they don't, I don't know what I want to do with that. So a lot of it doesn't get used. So we definitely have the fact to be thankful for the fact that we can have food. And we have it. Something else we have in America, typically, is we typically have a roof over our head. Now, granted, I'll be honest, there's some people that are mentally challenged. There's some people that are they're mentally challenged, and on top of it, have substance abuse. There's a lot. There's homeless out there. But most people find a way to take them in and find a place where they can sleep. There's parts of the world where that's not the truth. Kids that live on the street, literally live on the street, from the time they're little, and they beg for food every day. You can go to half the countries in the world and see that. We have a lot to be thankful for. The fact that we have a democratic society, that we have this constitutional republic, that we have a constitution and we elect people to, whether we're doing it right or not half the time anymore, they're there to serve our need. They serve us. We have a say-so in what goes on around us. And if things go off on that shouldn't, that's our fault because we're not stepping up and doing anything about it. But access to health care is another one. I find it interesting when I look into access to health care. There are some gaps that people fall through. But I know that any hospital in America, if you walk in and you're deathly sick or you're deaf or you're injured, they're not going to say, show me your card, or we're not going to, you know, in this country, if you go in the hospital, they've got to treat you. They might not want to keep you, mm-hmm. but they got to treat you. Clothing. We have clothing pantries. We have, I mean, all those things are out there, Terry. And even access to get a foot up, to get a leg up. There's so many programs out there to help people to get a job if they want to plug into them and get ahead. There's free online programs through the state. There's just so many. People just have to stop and decide what they're going to do and look into them. So I think we have a lot to be thankful for. Now, myself, you know, as a, the thing that gets me from getting too caught up is that no matter what happens, I know that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me. And I can rest in that. And I feel for people that don't have that hope. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't think physically any of us know and mentally know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, we just don't. I love one of Billy Graham's old sayings he used to use. It was, he said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Now think about that. God holds the future. And if I trust in God, I don't have to worry about the future. I know ultimately where I'm going to be when things are done. So it kind of gives me a little bit of rest to realize that it's okay. You know, things are going to be okay. But, you know, I so much lately, Thanksgiving's coming up. It's in less than 2 weeks. And I'm still hearing nothing at all on that squawk box television, but complaining and negativity and race runoffs and over and over and over. Come on, man. I want to encourage you out there. If you happen to be a news person that may be hearing this, will you please give us something positive? We have so much to be thankful for. You know, this Thanksgiving coming up, we truly do. I think of those people in California right now. Wow. Everybody's worrying about who's coming to the border. And right now, we have thousands of displaced people in California that we're going to have to take care of. Unfortunately, this week, my little sister Laura lost her home in California, in Paradise. Her daughter and her husband and son lived in Chico, which is right beside it, and they lost their home. They showed us pictures. It's just barren, with some sticks of metal sticking up out of the ground. They're staying with their sister and my sister's daughter Jane, who is in Oroville. Kind of over the hill, over the mountain. And they're all huddling up there, but now the fires are coming that way. And the hospital that my niece Jane works in burnt. My sister was due to have a tumor removed from her chest wall coming up, I think it was this week. The hospital's not there, but neither is her doctor or her doctor's office. Or any of the pharmacies, or anything else, that they're gone. And she told me the other day on the phone, she says, I don't know what I'm going to do. When I talked to her, she was staying in her, she hadn't made it to her daughter's yet, because things were still closed, she couldn't get there. And she was, she had a house of someone she knew that was standing, that they could go in. But then at night, she was sleeping in her car, because there was no room in the house for people to sleep. And she told me she was starting to feel pretty sick from all the smoke. But that's, there's thousands of people like that. And she said she just thanks God that she has God to trust in. And she knows it's all going to be okay because he's in control. What a great attitude to have. I mean, she literally lost everything. I mean, she left with her clothes on her back. And there's nothing in the house. So I look at that and I think, do we have anything to be thankful for? Oh, yeah. And she doesn't even know how to get her prescriptions that she has to have. And there are just so many people like that. The firefighters that are just worn out. I think I heard last night at a fire meeting, I know this figure is wrong, but I'm going to toss it out there. It's probably low. There's like 70-some firefighters that have lost their homes and are still out battling fires.
Wow. And, are they talking about getting any reinforcement from anywhere?
It's coming in from everywhere.
Okay,
but good. I mean, the amount of this fire is just unreal.
Well, right. I mean, it's still hard to keep up with.
Coming in from all over. But if you look at it, what has happened is California has laws stopping them from cutting and from cleaning brush and all those things on the ground. They want everything left natural. Well, when that happens and a spark hits it, have you ever seen a dry Christmas tree go up in flames? It's one of the fastest. You don't need an accelerant, man. Just light one needle. And in 2 seconds, it just goes. And that's the problem. There's all this dead everywhere through the forest. They want it left natural. Well, when she takes off, and I know that last year I was out west, and there'd be whole sections of aspen trees that had died from a beetle or whatever had killed them, but there'd be like a whole hillside of them. And people said, we can't do anything about them, because they're a huge fire hazard and you're living there. But the Forestry Service
wants to preserve it,
And it lights up, man. And so that's what's been going on in California. I saw a thing yesterday that they said at one point that fire was burning 8 football fields a minute in the wind. And now these winds have really kicked back up again. So it's really tough. So I'm asking you people for Marion, do we have anything to be thankful for tonight? Your bed may be lumpy. Your house might not be quite as warm as you'd like. But, man, most of us got a place to lay our head, don't we? Huh? Mm-hmm. We truly do. And we got other things we're battling. I talked to a young lady the other day, and it brought tears to my eyes, man. I'm telling you, she was working in a place and that I'd gone into to get something to eat. And I knew she was struggling from trying to keep off an addiction. You can tell. And I said to her, I said, as I usually do when I go in a place, I said, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? And she started to tear up a little bit, and she said, just pray that I stay strong and things get better. And I thought, bless your heart, here's somebody that knows what it's like to be on the bottom, and they're trying to get up. And if you're out there, young lady, I don't know. I don't even know your name. But I want you to know I am praying for you and will continue to do so. And God will help you if you just stop and reach. Stop and reach. Does that mean that the addiction's going to disappear? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that you just keep reaching. Stop and get away. I want to tell you out there, Marion, if you're around people that are causing you to stay addicted to something or to fall back into things you're getting away from, get away from them. Tell God, I'm putting myself in your hands. Find some place to go. And people say, boy, he makes it sound easy. Where do I go? And it's true. It's hard to find places to go. But I know places that if you truly want to get your life together, that you can go. Now, you might have to leave town for 6 months to a year to do it. But if I truly want to get my life together, is it worth it? To a year from now be a different person? It's hard. People are afraid, well, I can't do that. I'll lose my kids. I got news for you, folks. If you stay on the track that some of you are on, you're losing them anyway.
Yeah.
It's better to be in a program and let someone have your kids for a year and then come back to them the whole person that can actually take care of them than to keep prolonging the inevitable and making things worse while you can.
That's what I was getting ready to say, because it's going to be 50 times worse if you're addicted and they come and get your kids than to at least show them that you're trying to.
And, you know, Terry, be thankful. Here's something else to be thankful for. Be thankful we live in a country where someone will take care of your kids if you can't for a while. Maybe it won't be the way you like it or the best, but you know what? In some countries, you can't take care of your kids. They're on the street. I mean,
you don't get an option.
You don't get an option. There's no one to feed them. There's no one going to clothe them. And I want to put something else out there this time of year. And I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you that profess to be Christians. Have some compassion this year. Real compassion. Be willing to feed a family. Be willing to take someone in. Be willing to reach out. You know, what we're celebrating is the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. And Jesus came here so that you might know freedom. What better way to honor that than to not only accept his free gift of the freedom he brought, but to share it with other people and share what you have with other people. You know, people talk about, you know, in the story, of course, in the Bible, that, you know, there was no room in the inn, so they stayed in a stable. You know what? They had a stable. And the room was full. The inn was full. Everyone was coming to pay their taxes. You know, Caesar decreed that's what you do. You go your hometown and pay your taxes. It was kind of like Super Bowl Sunday, you know. You're not going to find a hotel wherever that Super Bowl is, you know. But they had a place to go. And just have compassion on people. What do you think, Terry?
I agree. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that...
Stop the hatred.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Yeah.
It just drives me crazy because, you know, it's really weird, Terry. You know, I hear people talk about, you know, oh, I can't, this political party, all they do is talk hate. And I'm sitting here watching the news and I'm seeing nothing but hate from the very people that say that the other people are doing it. And I'm like, come on, folks.
Yeah.
Let's not be blind with ourselves. Let's just stop this rhetoric and work towards a common goal of getting done what we need to do.
Absolutely.
And stop this ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
I had someone gave an acceptance speech the other day and said their win was all about not accepting, you know, the petty fighting and bickering. And I thought, what? Huh? You know, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, just... Do you expect the American people to be that? Well, I guess maybe we are that lame. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be. You know, when I was I've never seen the kind of division that we see in the country today. I think it's been there from time to time. You know, throughout our history, there's been some really harsh divisions in the political parties and some real head-to-head debates and people really coming down heavy on one side or the other. But never was there the personal attacks and the hatred of people. I was thinking of the other day of the protest, not protesters, the violent thugs that showed up at Tucker Carlson's house. What was that all about? That's not stuff we do in America. Show up at someone's house and threaten to kill them and scare their wife to death where she's hiding in a closet calling 911 and you vandalize his cars and his home and... But we never did stuff like that in this country.
Uh-uh.
I mean, there were some pretty harsh protests in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And some anti-Vietnam protests. But you know, of course, there, I guess, were some rough things went on then, too. But, you know, the attacking and hurting people, I just don't get it.
Right.
We're Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to come together and solve our problems together. And, you know, Terry, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to agree with you all the time. And I know you're not going to agree with me all the time. Doesn't mean I can't love you, brother.
Same here.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, and why can't people be that way?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I mean, as far as that goes, I personally respect anyone's opinion. I mean, even if we do disagree, that doesn't mean I don't respect your opinion. I still respect your opinion, you know.
Well, we've changed the meaning of some of the words we use. I'll give you a good example. The word tolerance. Tolerance used to mean, and what it was always meant to mean, was...
But now what's that? They put zero tolerance now. Yeah.
But tolerance is you tolerate it. In other words, I may not agree with anything you're doing. I may think it's dead wrong, but I respect your right to do it, and don't expect me to agree with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we can't be friends.
Right.
Well, that somehow has changed now.
Yeah.
Where if I disagree with you, I'm an intolerant hater.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you're being intolerant to me because you have no tolerance for my opinion. You see what
it's,
I mean?
It's crazy.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. It's.
So we've got to be tolerant for each other and understand, you know, you have a thought process and a way that you approach how you think when you hear something and how you analyze something. And there's a reason behind that. It can be the way you're brought up. It can be your education. It can be your economic position. And it can be your faith. Faith or lack thereof. Okay? Well, those are things that are going to affect everyone. So there's a reason you think the way you do. And there's a reason I think the way I do. And everyone thinks the way they do. So understand that. There's nothing wrong with me stating my opinion and encouraging you to follow me and believe what I do.
Absolutely.
But if you don't, where's the room for the hatred?
Right.
And how does that make me a hater if I don't agree with you or well, you don't agree with me?
I was getting ready to say, and the same thing with me, how can I go around then, I don't even know what the word is I'm looking for, like how can I be angry with you? You know, like, because you've given me that chance to follow in the, you know, and I chose not to, so therefore, I don't have a right to.
Exactly. You know, we look in some of the more barbaric parts of the world where you don't believe what I say, you get your head lopped off.
Yeah.
And we don't need to fall into that. America's never been that. We've been a melting pot. And we've this has been a place of refuge. And at different times, our borders have been closed at different times in history. But the point is, we've always understood differences of opinions. And we don't hate each other for it. We might be real adamant about it. But come on, we're not some third world country that goes in and wipes out a village because they don't believe the same way we do. And we got to stop this stuff. Folks, we got about a minute left. Terry and I are both ready to fall asleep.
I'm tired. Yes, buddy. Yes. It is going to be
It's going to be nap time tonight.
Yeah.
But you know, I want you guys to have a great Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you before Thanksgiving, but you know, think of something to be thankful for. You know, sit your kids down and say, what do we have to be thankful for this year? Maybe you have a relative that got through an illness. Maybe you did better in some. There's something out there you can be thankful for, and I want you to focus on that and try to be positive. And you know, find a church that you're comfortable with and go to it. We welcome you at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We're Community Christian Fellowship. You can find us on the web at prospectccf.com. We would love to have you. And it's a great place to plug in and have your life encouraged. But, Terry, you have a great week.
Thank you. You
too. God bless you, buddy.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP,